Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 verses 35 to 44. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. For that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. As the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So far, sermon text. Have you seated? In Christ Jesus, our returning Savior, whom we eagerly watch for and faithfully await, dear fellow redeemed. As many of you know, it is customary for the theme of the end of the church year to be the end of the world. Sermon texts, scripture readings, focus on such topics as Christ's second coming, judgment day, the resurrection of the dead, and everlasting life in heaven. And this morning is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, a whole new church year begins, the season of Advent. And so in keeping with our Lutheran liturgical calendar, this morning our main thought is the second coming of Jesus. And the encouragement, you've heard it many times already this morning, watch. Jesus spoke these truths about the future, but they have direct application and practical importance to our present, to today. These teachings concerning the end times were given by Jesus for at least two reasons. One, for the unbelievers. Those who are carnally secure, who don't care about their sins, they don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they believe this life is all there is to life, there is no afterlife, there's no way they're going to be standing on Judgment Day before some God. These words are spoken to them as words of warning and judgment. Listen up, take heed, and repent. But these words are also spoken for the believer. The one who believes in Jesus Christ has been led to repent of his sins, trust in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and looks for his heavenly home. These words are words of admonition, encouragement, and comfort. An admonition not to fall asleep spiritually while you're waiting. An encouragement to keep on watching. And a comfort against the temporal temptations of this evil world. When I was a little child, it seemed to me that the Christmas season would never come. When it finally did, it still seemed like Christmas Day took forever to get there. There was the eager excitement and anticipation of buying the Christmas tree and putting it up, the decorations, the Advent services, learning your Christmas parts, and the presents. Well, the same way, we as Christians should be excited about the end of the world, the coming judgment. Does that sound strange? It shouldn't. Even as we prepare for Christmas, Christ's first coming, with special services during Advent, looking to the Word of God, remind ourselves over and over again what this Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the decorations and the buying of presents. So also we need to prepare for Christ's second coming by looking to God's Word, reminding ourselves of what is going to happen when He comes, repenting of our sins, and watching for His glorious return. But everyone of us here this morning has to admit that the excitement as this Christmas season is approaching far exceeds the excitement of the coming judgment. And the reasons for that we'll be talking about later in our sermon. So, we admit we're not all that excited. But we should be. Our eternal life is at stake. Our eternal future is involved. What will keep us excited? Our Lord tells us that we need to be watchful, prepared, eagerly awaiting the Lord's return. But how can you be watchful and excited for 30, 50, 70, 80, 90 years? How do we keep that excitement and that eagerness of watching alive for so long? Only through one way, and that is the Word. The only thing that lasts. The Word of God is the most powerful force in this world. In the Word, there is the power of salvation. The power of forgiveness of sins. The power to create living faith in spiritually dead hearts. The power of victory over Satan's attacks. That Word will last forever. This world, Christmas celebrations, partying, working, playing, all come to an end. Everything we see and do in this life will come to an end. But the Word lasts forever. And so Jesus turns to that Word and directs us to that Word this morning and encourages us to watchfulness. Watchfulness by showing us a lesson from the past applied to the present and concerning the future. Every so often we hear of someone who is proclaiming that the end will come on a certain date. Well, that not only is foolishness, it's unscriptural. The Bible is very clear. No one knows the end of time, not even the angels. When Jesus was on this earth in his humiliation, he didn't even know. There's a good reason why the Lord has not revealed to us the date of his return. By not knowing, it impresses upon us the necessity of being watchful, faithful, and ready all the time. And the lesson from the past that the Lord uses for us is the flood. We read in our text, Jesus says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." And the world of Noah's day was much like ours. Immorality was rampant. There was violence all over the world. Gross materialism filled the hearts and lives of most of people. They were burying themselves and busying themselves in the cares and concerns of this life, thinking themselves to be secure as long as their daily needs were being met. They had little of any thought about a hereafter. In fact, it was even worse than today. For only 8 look forward to salvation from the coming Messiah. Only 8. What happened? Didn't they know it was going to happen? Hadn't they heard? Yeah, they had. In fact, Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. From the day that he was told, 120 years before the flood came, from that day, He no doubt told his neighbors, friends, family, those around him, about the coming judgment of the flood. And they rejected his words. They were too busy with the here and the now. They didn't care about the future. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust him. They rejected God's word. In fact, we read in Genesis about the world prior to the flood. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. What do you think God sees today when he looks at this earth? When he looks at you, or me, and mankind? He sees sin, selfishness, immorality, violence, wickedness, corruption, people living indulgently only for this life. How do most people respond to God's warnings when they hear someone tell them, the end is coming, Christ is going to come and judge the whole world? How do they respond? Well, look at our churches. If they're half full, we're happy. There are probably more people that look forward to going out to the bars on Saturday night and do than there are that go and come to church on a Sunday morning. What's important? The here and the now, or the hereafter? For most people, that answer is simple. Very simple. The answer is this. If I can't feel it, taste it, use it, play with it, work with it, watch it, or wear it, it's a little use to me. Rejection of God's clear words. The danger is also there for us because of our sinful flesh that wants to live just for this life as well. In Noah's days, we're told they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and then the rain began to fall. Today we say they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, probably watching TV, going to movies, texting, surfing the net, and then the end will come. The main point of this lesson is the suddenness of the end. It'll come suddenly upon mankind, and therefore we need to be prepared and ready. Yet God planned the flood 120 years in advance, gave 120 years of grace to the people to repent of their sins, to listen to what Noah was saying to them, to turn from their ungodly ways, to believe in him. And they rejected it. And no doubt there were those who made fun of Noah, put in this great big huge boat in the middle of dry ground. A worldwide flood can never happen. And then it rained and rained and rained. And the earth burst open, and geysers from the caverns of water below came up, and water rose higher and higher and higher. And there was now no escape. The time of grace was over. There was no refuge. No mountain was high enough. Imagine the screams, the cries for help, the scratching and clawing and grabbing something that would help them float as they were carried away. No doubt there were countless millions who, in their anger and hatred toward God, cursed him as they were washed away and drowned. Even as the flood came suddenly upon the unsuspecting, apathetic, and unwatchful unbelievers of Noah's day, so will the end of time come upon unbelievers today. Christ's second coming shall be, the Lord says, as a thief in the night. Sudden. Unexpected. When he comes, there will be a separation. The Lord calls it the separation of the sheep from the goats. In our text, Jesus says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. One will be taken to everlasting home in heaven, the other left for eternal judgment. One will be taken to the mansions above, the other left for the eternal prison of hell and damnation. The sound of the last trumpet, at the sight of all of God's angels and Jesus Christ himself and of all of his full-blown glory, then it will be too late. Too late to start to prepare. Too late to try to change our priorities. Too late then to think about eternity. Too late to repent or to say, well, I always intended to learn more about Jesus. I always thought I should go to church or read the Bible. I always thought there'd be more time. Just like Noah's day, people then run to and fro to try and find some safety, some refuge. In fact, Jesus in another gospel says that people cry out to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. But just like Noah's day, there'll be no escape. For everyone will be brought before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged. The believer in Jesus, the one who has been led to repent of his sins, trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, rest his reliance and confidence in his shed blood. They'll be like Noah and his family, safe in the ark. We'll be safe in Jesus and his righteousness. In fact, we'll be declared not guilty, innocent, in fact, righteous through Christ's shed blood and his righteousness. Well, did the hymn writer pen his words? Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds, in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay. Fully through these absolved I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. But at the same time, the unbeliever will be standing there before Christ their judge, with no Savior, no perfect robe of righteousness, no sacrifice for their sins, no substitute. They trusted in themselves and now they'll be standing there by themselves with only their sin-stained, spotted robe of unbelief. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Jesus has given us almost 2,000 years of warning. Will Judgment Day catch us unawares, unprepared, unfaithful, unrepentant, unclothed in Christ's righteousness? Not if we continually look to God's Word in our daily devotions, in our Bible readings, consistently come to God's house to hear His Word, be led to repent of our sins, our faith keep watch over our lives, and our faith keep watch for our Savior's return. May this morning's scripture readings and our sermon texts encourage us to be zealous and eager and watchful and waiting for our Savior's return, ever willing to live for Him here on this earth who lived for us, and ever watchful to someday live with Him forever in heaven. We close. Forever with the Lord, amen. So let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. Forever with the Lord, O Father, 'tis thy will, the promise of that faithful word, even here, to me fulfill. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.